So let me say this as plainly as I can. By August 31st, 2010, our combat mission in Iraq will end.
Not so fast, says the Washington Post's Thomas Ricks. This two-time winner of the Pulitzer Prize ends his latest book called The Gamble with the following sentence. The events for which the Iraq War will be remembered probably have not happened yet. If the U.S. has any chance of winning the war in Iraq, Ricks says, we have to understand we came dangerously close to out-and-out losing it. The date was November 19, 2004. It was a Saturday in the town of Haditha, some 150 miles north of Baghdad. Ricks told me that Haditha was the low point of the war.
It really showed the bankruptcy of going after the enemy in Iraq without regard to the civilian population. The Marines at Haditha, in which 24 Iraqis were killed, didn't consider it a significant enough event to report it up the chain of command. There's a formal thing called a significant action or a SIG act. And Haditha, with the killing of 24 Iraqis, was not on the SIG act report that day.
It's even too bland to just remember it as the killing of 24 Iraqis. It was a determined house-to-house pursuit of civilian Iraqis, including women and children.
It was. The Marines firing the weapons knew they were killing women and children and an old man in a wheelchair as well. They were looking at these people as they shot them. General Corelli, who was the number two guy in Iraq at the time, was stunned not only that the Marines didn't report it, but when he asked about it, he said, well, just give me the details on the investigation. He was told there is no investigation. And at that point, his jaw dropped. 24 Iraqis are dead, many of them civilian, women and children, and nobody thinks it's significant enough to even look into this. To him, that really sent a blinking red light that the troops and their commanders were not understanding how to go about prevailing in Iraq.
So when did we begin to go wrong? This is not something that happened only on the street level. It did go up the chain of command, and not just up the chain of command of the Army, but also, as you say, beyond the Pentagon to then Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, to the Joint Chiefs?
I think the thing was wrong from the start. Now, I have an opinion here, or a view, that the invasion of Iraq was the single biggest mistake in the history of American foreign policy. It was a blunder. We invaded a country preemptively on false premises. So I think everything is poisoned by that. We went into Iraq on the wrong foot. If you invade a country on false premises, you think you're doing these people a big favor. They don't think so. You think you're liberating them. Very quickly, they came to see us as occupiers. And there was a constant clash in what we thought we were doing there and what Iraqis believed we were doing there. And I think it's only when we took a big time out, stepped back, and revamped the entire mission that there began to be any consistency, that we got off that wrong foot that culminated in Haditha.
And as a result of that mistake when we went in, it was what you were just talking about. It was that we didn't see the primary mission as protection of the Iraqi people. There was something else, and I'm not even sure anybody knows what it was anymore.
Well, when we went in, after going in onto these false premises, the U.S. military did what it historically and typically has done. It focused on the enemy. And that's very much a conventional view of warfare, in which you see it almost like a football game. We're playing the other team, and civilians, those are just the people up in the stands, never understanding that the fight is actually for control of those people. So we went in totally focused on killing and capturing the enemy. If you remember early on, they had those deck of cards, the 52 leaders under Saddam they were going after. There was a total focus on that. And so when commanders would round up tens of thousands of military-age males and ship them off to Abu Ghraib or other detention facilities, they saw it as a net plus if in that big roundup they captured a few so-called bad guys. The big exception to this back in 03-04 at the beginning of the war was General Petraeus, who was then up north in Mosul commanding the 101st Airborne Division. Now, Petraeus is an unusual general, has a PhD in international relations from Princeton. He actually did his dissertation on the Vietnam War. And Petraeus laid down some rules early on for his guys. One of them was, and a major one, was don't make any more enemies than you need. The second one was, don't do anything that creates more enemies than it stops. And this was a bit of common sense logic that was lost on a large chunk of the U.S. military early on. So the military recovered those lessons, but it took a surprisingly and agonizingly long time to adjust. By the time we started getting effective on the ground in Iraq, we had been in Iraq longer than the U.S. military was in World War II.
So we're really talking about this period between 2005 and 2007, when the military began to look at what had gone before, began to look at what Petraeus had actually managed to accomplish in the early days of Iraq, and began to think about applying it to the rest of the war.
That's absolutely right. 06 was a crucial year in this war. In 06, two things are going on. In Iraq, the war is going downhill very fast. It's become a small civil war in central Iraq. The American commanders have thrown in their forces twice, what they called Operation Together Forward 1 and then Operation Together Forward 2, trying to reassert security in Baghdad. Both operations failed. And by the end of the year, the Pentagon did a secret study that formally concluded and explicitly stated, we are losing this war. Simultaneously in 06, General Petraeus is back at Fort Leavenworth writing a new counterinsurgency manual for the U.S. military. Now, this manual is at once quite a scathing critique of how the U.S. military and the U.S. government have operated in Iraq. It is also a blueprint for how he would operate in Iraq were he given the job of top command there.
So this was adopted as a policy that ought to be pursued. What happened when Petraeus got there? What was the reaction of the boots on the ground?
There's a lot of skepticism at the outset of the surge, and I think rightly so. People here in the United States never really understood just how violent and difficult the first 6 months of 2007 were, the beginning of the surge. It was a very rough time. For several months, American casualties went up and got quite high, up to a couple hundred, I think, in May and June each of 2007, with no sign of an improvement in security. And it was kind of a near-run thing. There's a lot of skepticism around Petraeus Nodierno about whether this new approach would ever work.
So when was the turnaround?
The turnaround in the tactical situation, that is to say, the improvement in security, began in the early summer of 2007. And at first, it was a trickle, first noticed by the small unit leaders, the lieutenants commanding platoons, the captains commanding companies. They'd say, you know, there's a different vibe on the street. People are talking to us more. We're understanding things more. One guy said, the locals still won't tell us where the bombs are, but on our patrols, when we go out right at dawn, sometimes we see spray-painted circles along the side of the road. Somebody has pointed out for us, without talking to us, where the bombs were planted last night.
So here we are later. Your first book was called Fiasco. You use the word advisedly, talking about what you thought about the first few years of the war. Does this mean, now that you've written The Gamble, that you think the surge wasn't a fiasco? That the surge worked?
The surge was not a fiasco. It improved security. But judged on its own terms, the surge failed. The purpose of the surge, as laid out by the President and his Secretary of Defense, was to improve security in such a way to create a breathing space that would lead to a political breakthrough in Iraq. That breakthrough has not occurred.
Do we have a U.S. policy, a U.S. strategy for Iraq now? And if so, what is it?
I think we do, but I think it's over-optimistic. President Bush didn't invade Iraq and said, I've got a great idea, let's go to Iraq and get stuck for 10 years. He said, I know what we'll do. We'll invade Iraq and we'll get out quickly. The original war plan was to be down to 35,000 troops by the fall of 2003. President Obama comes into office and says, I've got a great idea. Let's get out of Iraq quickly. We'll be down to 35,000 to 50,000 troops by the fall of 2010, and the combat mission will end. Well, just because you hang up a mission accomplished banner on an aircraft carrier doesn't mean the mission is accomplished. Just because you call it a non-combat mission doesn't mean the combat's going to end.
At the end of The Gamble, somewhere you write, the events for which the Iraqi war will be remembered by us and by the world have not happened yet. That's maybe the most disturbing thing you've said.
It actually was said to me by Ryan Crocker, who was U.S. ambassador to Iraq during the surge, and a terrific diplomat and a very honest man. He said it to me twice. He said it to me first in January 08. And in my last interview with him in November of 08, I said, look, if you still believe this, I want to check, because if you do, I'm going to use it as the last line in the book. He said, not only do I still believe it, I believe it more than ever. Crocker is a relative optimist on Iraq. He thinks its future is going to be like Lebanon. May not sound good to you or me, we wouldn't want to live there, but an improvement over where Iraq is now. But he is at the optimistic end of the scale. At the other end of the scale, I gave a speech recently to a bunch of American officials, and at the end of it, a leading American expert on Iraq inside the government came up to me and he said, Tom, you are so over-optimistic. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you think a civil war in Iraq is avoidable. It's not. It is inevitable. Just because you get up and walk out of the movie doesn't mean the movie ends. I think Obama has been slow to recognize just how screwed he is in Iraq.
And maybe the administration that just left is glad to be out of town?
Yeah, also because they can say, well, when we left, you know, all the trend lines were good in Iraq. Security was improving, and you guys blew it. I don't think so. I think what they did was buy themselves a pause by cutting a lot of deals that improved the situation in the short term but might have created long-term problems. Number one in this category is the turning of the Sunni insurgency. General Petraeus did something astonishing. He put the Sunni insurgency on the American payroll. Nearly 100,000 fighters were paid $30 million a month to stop fighting the American presence. Now, I think it's a good deal. $30 million is what George Steinbrenner pays for a mediocre second baseman. So I'm glad that they did it. The problem was that the Iraqis really never signed up to it. As one Iraqi politician said at the time of the deals, baby crocodiles are cute, but you can't keep adult crocodiles in the house. And the view is that we were feeding baby crocodiles left and right, then we're going to get out of Iraq and those crocodiles will have grown and they'll be snapping at the Baghdad government.
The Washington Post's Thomas Ricks is a two-time winner of the Pulitzer Prize and the author of the books Fiasco and The Gamble, both about the war in Iraq.